From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. Political leaders in the North African country of Tunisia are trying to put together a unity government following the protests that drove the longtime president from power. They're holding talks today aimed at maintaining a fragile calm. Soldiers are still on the streets of the capital, where shots have been heard today. Eleanor Beardsley is in Tunis. She says average Tunisians are proud of what they've done.
Of people out in the street, men, women, even some kids, and people were gathered in front of a cafe. It just seems that everyone is out talking about the amazing lightning change that came upon this country in literally 24 hours. So I went into the cafe, I had a coffee. It was just bursting with people, and they were watching Al Jazeera TV and talking, and the mood seemed good. I mean, there was a lot less stress than yesterday. Yesterday, people seemed stressed. Today, they're more relaxed.
Eleanor Beardsley reporting from Tunis. Tunisian authorities, meanwhile, have arrested the official in charge of security for the ousted president and say he is due to appear in court on charges of stoking violence. Doctors in Tucson, Arizona, have removed a breathing tube from Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords, freeing her from a ventilator. But NPR's Jeff Brady says Giffords is still listed in critical condition.
Doctors say Representative Giffords already had been breathing on her own, so the ventilator wasn't necessary. Surgeons performed a tracheotomy and installed a different tube in her windpipe. They also inserted a feeding tube. A statement from University Medical Center says her recovery continues as planned. Doctors delivered upbeat assessments on her recovery all last week, saying she was opening her eyes for extended periods and following simple commands. Giffords is one of only three shooting victims left at the hospital. The other two are listed in good condition. Jeff Brady, NPR News, Tucson.
The shootings in Arizona may have lawmakers acting more civil toward each other these days, but the rhetoric could rise again as Congress returns to work and takes up the looming problem of massive federal red ink. As NPR's Carol Van Dam reports, the federal government's debt has surpassed $14 trillion, an all-time high.
Lawmakers have basically two choices to lower the nation's debt, and neither of them are easy. Dramatically cut back on spending and services, or lift the legal debt limit to an even higher amount. With last year's Tea Party activists finding traction over the issue of out-of-control federal spending, the debt problem will likely lead to more bickering in both the House and Senate. Efforts to raise the debt limit in the past are among the most unpopular bills to make their way through Congress. Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner warns failure to increase the government's right to borrow more money would be a catastrophe that could possibly rival the financial meltdown of just a few years ago. Emboldened by their big wins in November, congressional Republicans say Americans are fed up with big spending and will oppose any more borrowing. Carol Van Dam, NPR News, Washington.
And from Washington, this is NPR News. At least 15 civilians have died in Afghanistan this weekend. They were killed by two separate roadside bombs, the latest in northern Afghanistan today. A provincial governor says the bomb destroyed a car and killed all nine passengers inside. They were reportedly heading to a wedding. Yesterday, six civilians were killed when their minivan was hit by a roadside bomb. A court in southern Egypt has convicted a Muslim man and sentenced him to death in connection with a drive-by shooting at a Christian church a year ago. Six Christians and a Muslim police officer were killed. The verdict comes 2 weeks after a suicide bomber blew himself up outside a church in the port city of Alexandria, killing 21 people and wounding dozens of others. Papers just released by Britain suggest Winston Churchill may have been mentally and physically hanging on by a thread by the end of World War II. Larry Miller reports a toll taken by the war on Churchill's health was described by his personal physician.
We shall fight on the beaches.
Winston Churchill's work deteriorated and his character suffered because of years of stress, according to his doctor of 25 years.
We shall never surrender.
Lord Moran wrote that while Churchill was fighting the Nazis, he developed an intolerance of criticism and a bad temper, refusing to take medical advice. Churchill was described as willful, opinionated, and undisciplined, and that he spent half the night smoking and drinking. Near the end of the war, Churchill often lost concentration mid-sentence. War historian Thomas Weber told London Sunday Times that a less exhausted Churchill might have been harder on Stalin at Yalta when negotiating Europe's post-war reorganization. For NPR News, I'm Larry Miller in London.
And I'm Giles Snyder in Washington.
Support for